You would turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Tony started a sermon series last week out of this book called His Move, My Groove. If you guys know Tony, you know he's got the groove. The guy can dance, I think. And I just want to remind you, some of you who heard this last week and others of you, this will be hearing it the first time, is that SOMA, as a church, we will be moving facilities. Our agreement and lease is up here with Discovery Science Place February 1st of 2013. And so over these next 6 or 7 months or so, there will be some transitioning happening, and we will be moving into a different building. And so I want to refer you guys to Tony's podcast from last week, because he explains in detail some of the things. And then also, if you have any questions or thoughts about the transition as far as buildings or helping out or anything in that regard, he asked that you would email him. That's Tony at Soma Tyler. Tony at Soma Tyler, you would email him, and he would be happy to get back with you. I just want to say this is a positive thing. I know with moving, how many of you guys have moved before? Yeah, it's, you know, it has its trials and tribulations, but this is a very positive thing. We saw this coming. In fact, we believe the Lord prophesied it over us. So we are excited about it, and we believe this is a stepping stone that's going to move SOMA into a better and better place. When I say SOMA, not the building, but us as people. Amen. So I would encourage you to go back if you did not, if you were not here last week or have not listened to the podcast, listen to his podcast, because Tony explains things very well there. If you have any questions, email him if you would. All right, Exodus 2:1. This is the second part. I think Tony's going to go maybe 9 or 10 weeks with this series. This is the second part. And this is Moses, the first 40 years, what we're going to cover here, and then Moses, the second 40 years. So here in this sermon, we're going to cover Moses, the first 80 years of his life. The goal here is to, all of us have heard of Moses, right? Moses in the ark, right? How many days did it rain when Moses was in the ark? How many? Seven times that, all right. But we know Moses, and a lot of us remember Moses from children's church, and we know it in that way. But today, my hope is that you will see Moses as a real-life person with real-life experiences who had real issues, and there's a lot of teaching points from his life, believe it or not. A lot of teaching points that I think that we can glean from, and if applied to our life, can, I think, help us to move forward in a greater and a better way. Amen? So that is the hope. So we're going to cover Moses, the first 80 years. And I've entitled this message, "No, Seriously, God Wants to Use You." No, seriously, God wants to use you. You guys know, it's kind of that common phrase now when you're telling someone a story and it's like too big of a story or too small of a story, too great or whatever, amazing of a story, and you have to say, "No, seriously." I mean it, no, seriously. And I find myself doing it all the time. In fact, I was telling a guy the other day, I was like, "Man, yeah, I bench 500 pounds. He's like, "What? No, seriously, dude. I bench 500 pounds. It's like, "No, yeah." It's like, "No, you're right. I don't." But you guys get the point of what I'm saying. We do that a lot. It's like, "No, seriously, I mean what I'm saying." And this is God with Moses here. He's saying, "No, seriously, I want to use you, Moses." Because it took a while for him to understand that, okay? And so I'm telling you here, "No, seriously, God wants to use you." And if he feels like, if you feel like he's using you, he wants to use you in a greater way. Amen. All right, so we're going to start reading in Exodus 2, verse 1. So you can read along with me. I'm reading out of, New King James, I believe. "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maiden walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out and to his brethren, the Hebrews, and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince, a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Most of you guys have heard the story multiple times. This is Moses, the first 40 years, okay? And I want to cover some of the highlights of it. It's going to be up on the screen. You guys can feel free to write it down. Once again, I'm wanting to take this from your children's church knowledge into you guys viewing Moses as a real-life man, okay? What he actually experienced and went through in his life, okay? First highlight, his family did not raise him. He was adopted due to the laws of the land. Everyone say adopted. He was adopted. We all know with adoption, it is a beautiful, wonderful thing, but there are things that you have to work through as one being adopted. There are challenges. I just listed a couple here: rejection and acceptance. Moses was adopted, okay? Now, it saved his life, but he was still adopted. Was brought up as a young man in Pharaoh's family in the greatest of teaching and wealth. Greatest of teaching and wealth. Some of the things that could happen there: pride and entitlement. And we see that playing out in Moses' life. Pride and entitlement. Third thing, while visiting his relatives, he killed an Egyptian man for mistreating his people. He killed him. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. It's murder. He killed a man. He had pride, murder. There's things you have to work through when you murder someone. Fourth thing, fled from the country because his own people would not receive him. And Pharaoh wanted to kill him. He ran away. Rejection, guilt, fear. I don't know if you guys have thought about this before when reading the first part of that passage, but when he went back to visit his relatives, part of what he was thinking when he took that guy's life was that this could be an inroad to gaining respect and gaining authority with the Hebrew people, okay? The problem is, and you'll see this later on, why it was wrong is, Moses tried to do it by his own name, by his own power, in his own way. And that's not the way that God had deliverance for his people. So if you're writing things down, write this down. This is the first teaching point. Your past has not disqualified you for God's present and future plans. Only you can disqualify yourself by giving up. Your past has not disqualified you from God's present and future plans. Only you can disqualify yourself by giving up. Last week, Jacob Lindsay, raise your hand, Jacob. He stood right here and he gave a little testimony about his time in Russia and how he thought, due to his past, addicted to cocaine, living in sin, living apart from the Lord, rebellion, disobedience. Due to his past, he thought, there's no way the Lord could use me. And if you were here last week, you saw him up here testifying about how he just went to Russia a few weeks ago. And the Lord used him mightily. He was, I think Nathan termed him the MVP of the team, shared his testimony to all over Russia. Jacob, 4 years ago, would you even thought that was a possibility? Your past has not disqualified you from God's present and future plans. You can only disqualify yourself. I want to ask you a question. Have any of you guys ever heard of Oscar Pistorius? Anybody ever heard of Oscar Pistorius? Let me tell you something about him. He's got quite a past. Oscar Pistorius, this is off the Huffington Post, runs qualifying 400-meter time in quest to reach London Olympics. Would you throw up the picture of him? I'm not talking about the Special Olympics or Paraplegic Olympics. I'm talking about the ones you're about to see in a few weeks. Double amputee Pistorius ran inside the 400-meter qualifying mark for the London Olympics for a second time Saturday, leaving him one race from making history at this year's games. Pistorius was timed in 45.2 seconds on his carbon fiber blades at a meet in South Africa to win his first 400 race of the season. He again beat the mark set by Track and Field's ruling organization for able-bodied athletes. Open quote, "I am absolutely thrilled to have run the Olympic qualification time today," Pistorius said after his run at the regional meet in Pretoria. "This is a huge moment for me, and I'm trying to take it all in. I felt strong out there when I crossed the line and saw the time. It was such a magical moment for me." "45 seconds. You know what 400 meters is? One time around a track? Carbon fiber legs, 400 meters in 45 seconds. I don't know how Oscar lost his legs, but I know that that was in his past, and I can probably guarantee that it was a lot of work to get to the point where he was at. Amen? It was a lot of work, but Oscar didn't disqualify himself. He had a plan, and he went for it. Amen? Write this down. It's on the screen. Every major difficulty you face in life is a fork in the road. You choose which track you will head down toward breakdown or breakthrough. Every major difficulty you face in life is a fork in the road. You choose which track you will head down toward breakdown or breakthrough. That's John Maxwell. This is Moses' first 40 years. We're talking about his past, the first 40 years of his life. He is a real life person who had real life issues, adopted, murder, fled from his country, pride, entitlement, all of these different things. Moses is dealing with them, and now he finds himself in Midian. Midian's an area, if you guys know where Egypt is, it was both on the east and west sides. It's completely desert, east and west side of the Red Sea. The Red Sea kind of split it, east and west side. So we're going to go on to Moses the next 40 years, and I'm just going to highlight some things here, and then we'll read. Moses settles in Midian, and he gets married and has a son. He tended the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. I want you to think about something. He came from in Pharaoh's place of great wealth and stature, and now he's in Midian, and he doesn't even have his own flock. He's tending the flock of his father-in-law. Third thing, Moses encounters God's presence at the burning bush. Moses dialogues with God about the deliverance of his people. I want you to turn to Exodus 3, verse 7. We're going to read verse 7 through 11. Exodus 3, verse 7. Moses, keep in mind, where we're picking up right here is the burning bush scene has just begun, okay? And now we're in this dialogue back and forth, okay? And so this is the first part of the dialogue between Moses and the Lord. Verse 7, "And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all the ites, okay? Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children out of Egypt? Who am I? Man, I just want to, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but when you read this, you just want to shake Moses. Will you? It's like, Moses, do you have amnesia? Like really quick amnesia? Do you see what just happened, what you just experienced? Just a few verses before, I mean, he is still in real time with this whole burning bush thing, okay? God shows up to him in a burning bush. Now, keep in mind, out in the desert there are some bushes that do burn up from fire. They will just spark, fire will burn them up. But what got his attention wasn't the burning bush, it was that it didn't burn it up. So God has his attention and he begins to dialogue and tell Moses about plans. And then what does he say? Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? It's like, who are you? What did you just experience, Moses? What did you just see? You just experienced a miracle. You just had the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob impart to you firsthand. What is going on? Write this down. Our personal insecurities do not have to lead to a lack of faith, but rather a shift in perspective. Our personal insecurities do not have to lead to a lack of faith, but rather a shift in perspective. Moses asked, who am I? And it wasn't the right question. Who is God was the right question. Who God is was far more important than who Moses was. When we know the God who is with us, we can step forth confidently to do his will. That's scholarly commentary from David Guzik. It's not who am I, it's who is God. Let me read it again. When we know the God who is with us, we can step forward confidently to do his will. Fresh perspective. Moses needed to be elevated out of the situation so he could see things from a new angle. You guys know what I'm talking about? When in your life, when you're like, man, I just need some fresh perspective here. I'm dealing with something. I have an issue. Here's a trial, a personal insecurity. And I need fresh perspective about myself, about God, about my faith. You guys ever been there? Am I only talking to myself? Man, I need fresh perspective. And what God begins to do right here is he elevates Moses out of this situation. And he says, okay, Moses, this is not about you. This is about me. Let me explain further who I am. Moses needed fresh perspective. We need fresh perspective. I wrote this down. I think it's on the screen. The recipe for doing away with insecurity is God's word plus your testimony equals fresh perspective. God's word plus your testimony equals fresh perspective. Let me explain. What God went on to do with Moses after that time was to tell him about his name. You guys recall that? The I am who I am. And basically, he was reassuring God of, this is my word. This is who I am. I am the light in your darkness. I am the strength when you are weak. I am the beginning and the end. I am that I am. It's lifting him up, turning him around, showing him the 360. Here's some fresh perspective for you, Moses. This is more and more. I'm giving you more of the entirety of who I am. This is not about you, Moses, and your insecurity. This is about me and my love for my people and my desire to fulfill my purposes and plans. No, seriously, Moses, I really want to use you. Let me prove it to you. Let me give you some fresh perspective. So God delivers his word unto Moses right then with my own insecurities in my own life. Right here, right now, I have to go to God's word. But you know what? It doesn't seem to always create the breakthrough that I think it does. But more often than not, when I combine it with my own personal testimony, I have fresh perspective on what I'm going through. I begin to recall, man, God, I just look at what you saved me out of. I look at my past and what I walked through and what I put you through. God, thank you for what you saved me out of. I remember my attitudes. I remember my actions. I remember my words. I remember how I treated people. Man, God, thank you. Thank you for coming and saving me. Thank you for helping, giving me a new mind. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new voice. Thank you, Lord, for giving me fresh perspective. Thank you, God, for what you did. Thank you for the testimony of my life and how you are using me now. And I know that in your word and with my testimony that I can handle what I'm facing right now. Amen? I know that I can handle what I'm facing right now. Revelations 12:11. We overcome by what? The word of the Lamb, the blood of our testimony. God's word, your testimony equals fresh perspective. Whatever right now, how many of you guys need some fresh perspective in your life on an issue you're going through? Okay. Whatever that is right now, let God elevate you. Dive into his word. Recite the I ams that God did to Moses. This is who I am. This is what I can do through you. Recite those things. Recall the faithfulness of God's testimony in our life and let it give you fresh perspective. God knows Moses needed it. God knows we need it. Look over at Exodus 4. Remember, we're in the last 40 years of Moses' life here. I'm going to read verse 1, verse 10, and verse 13. And those are the responses. They're still in a dialogue here. God's still dialoguing with Moses. Okay? Now, it didn't seem like he really wanted to dialogue with Moses. It'd been nice the first time, you know? But it's a back and forth over three chapters here, okay? So we're going to read verse 1, verse 10, and verse 13. Exodus 4, starting in verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Right out beside that, I think it's on the screen, right out beside that, unbelief. His insecurities, which the Lord can deal with, has led into unbelief. Verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Right out beside it, excuses. That was literally a bold-faced lie. In Acts 7:22, it says that Moses was mighty in word and speech. Moses, you guys ever lie? Moses just lied to God straight in his face. "I am not eloquent in word and speech." Oh, yes, you are. Excuses. Verse 13. But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send." Unwilling. Right out beside it, unwilling. Moses wasn't unable, he was unwilling. He was unwilling. Write this down. It's the third point. God is gracious with the fragileness of our humanity, but he still requires obedience. God is gracious with the fragileness of our humanity, but he still requires obedience. Picking up in verse 14 there. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand, and with which you shall do signs." Seriously, Moses. No, seriously. Again and again, seriously, Moses, I want to use you. I know that you're unbelieving. I know that you're making excuses and bold-faced lies. I know that you're unwilling, but I want to use you in spite of your past, in spite of your insecurities, in spite of your fears. I want to use you and use you in a greater way. Fragileness. He's gracious with the fragileness of our humanity, but he still requires obedience. You guys stand with me today. It's the first 80 years of Moses' life, covered in about 25 minutes. You guys know the children's church version of the story. But Moses was a real man with real issues, just like us. If you would just bow your heads.